listening to Get Sports Radio.
Sports Info Podcast. I am your host, Dan Claskins, back with you here for episode number 17. It's our 2017 AFC South primer as we continue to roll through the divisions. Man, I can't believe just one more of these to go after today's episode. And wow, we're the regular season right upon us. We are going to have a couple podcasts a week once we get into the regular season, just some short, quick ones. I plan on doing a waiver wire one. We're definitely going to be diving into my Friday podcast, which would be more matchup intensive. But at the end of the day, we've got this preview here today of the AFC South. I'm going to check in later in the week with my final division, which is the NFC West. Some thoughts there for you as well. And I'm going to wrap up my preseason podcast with my 2017 Bold Predictions episode. We'll do all of that before the kickoff to the season. And man, if you're as excited to me, I know you're ready into draft mode. I've had a couple big ones already. If you're out there drafting and you haven't downloaded a free trial of the Fantastics Draft Advisor software tool, I know a lot of you know me from SiriusXM, the host of Fantastics Insider Football. I've been using this stuff for 6 years now. It is a fantastic tool on draft day and it gets you ready with the mock drafts and more. Download a free trial of that, insiderfootball.com. They got a deal on the site, too. If you make a first-time deposit with PlayDraft through the insiderfootball.com sign-up page there, you can actually get that Fantastic software and Insider Football's regular season content for free. Whether you're doing that or not, you need to be checking out some mock drafts. Check out my link at GetSportsInfo.com. You can get the mock draft link there right into the Fantasy Pros and pick your spot. Love the engine and all the stuff they got there. Of course, my rankings included. Coming off another strong finish, now 8th overall in the industry over the last 2 years of my season-long rank. So be sure to include me in your experts you sort through there, Fantasy Pros, as you look at those rankings and see how things are going. I also love the latest ADP data. I got a link to that underneath my Fantasy tab at Get Sports Info, Fantasy Football Calculator. We'll look at that throughout the show. Some good tools for you to use during the draft. And man, another good tool would be yours truly. If you haven't heard yet about my email coach service this year, I've been doing emails now, and even well before Twitter, I was emailing for at least 15 years now, and I've always enjoyed it, but quite frankly, it's just the bandwidth. I can't no longer do it, so my only choice was to go premium with it. I got offers that start at less a buck a week. The email coach under Fantasy tab as well. Look for email advice. And you really want the best deal. How about $40 for PFF Edge to get all the great content that is offered there? All the premium articles across Fantasy, DFS, the NFL Draft. You get the PFF player grades, including snap counts, blocking, and more. All the expert fantasy rankings. That's where my rankings are at. You get Jeff Ratcliffe's weekly wide receiver cornerback matchup chart. You can get all of that. The same price you get it at Pro Football Focus, $39.99. If you buy it on my page at GetSportsInfo.com under the Fantasy Football tab, the great deal on PFF, go through one of those links. You can get that or the Elite Package, which is really taking it to another level for $199 a year. And you can get my email service for free as an add-on when you buy it through GetSportsInfo. Now, no other offers or discount codes are available with that, so you have to get that in order to get my email service. You can get the email service by itself. Check it out there at GetSportsInfo.com. And, you know, enough of all that. That's stuff that, you know, we have to do this time of year to put the tools in your hands to win. So enough of that. Let's get into some of what's been going on with me in fantasy. If you missed, I've been on Fox 19 here in Cincinnati the past couple, twice in the past week with Kara Sewell and really enjoying my time there in the morning. I got at Get Sports Info. I'm going to put up the clips of both of those if you weren't local or you happen to miss it. Be sure to check that out. Obviously on weekend morning still with SiriusXM, Fantastics Football, getting ready for draft weekend. And speaking of draft weekends, had two big ones. My Dream League, which is my Dynasty Auction, free agent draft. That was exciting. by KFFC Cincinnati main event here in Cincinnati, the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. You bid on your draft pick, and I wanted a top five receiver. I figured the two backs would go off the board. This is a third round reversal, start three receiver and a fourth. So basically four receivers in a PPR flex division of 12 here. And I really wanted the 7-hole, maybe the 6-hole. I've got another draft, too. I'm doing at KFFC Louisville. You can play in the main event. Check it out. There's online leagues, too, at KFFSC.com. But I'll tell you, it was cool. I actually landed AJ Green there, which was my strategy. I was hoping that Brandon Cooks would fall back to me, but he went in round one. I wanted that second receiver. I would have been happy with Freeman. Almost fell to me two picks later. I was surprised to see that. But I settled for Doug Baldwin. My target was Dalvin Cook. And I'm on board. I know not everybody in the industry's quite there yet, but I've been there for months. Unfortunately, now it's a two-round steeper price than I was paying when I was mocking in May. But Dalvin Cook, Carlos Hyde, another guy of mine, my top running backs there. You can check out the board and the complete stuff there on my Twitter. Lots of fun, though. Love bidding on that draft pick. The third-round reversal, always an interesting twist. And the KFFSC main event offers both. Been busy at Pro Football Focus, too, man. Just cranking out the articles and a couple good ones I've enjoyed working on lately included. My NFC deep sleepers, following up with my AFC deep sleepers, and I went team by team. Gave a deep sleeper out there. It's under the paywall, so you'll need to be a premium subscriber to get to the full list. But NFC deep sleepers, let me just throw one out to you I love, and this isn't a secret anymore, but I really like Alvin Kamara. I think he's being completely undervalued right now. Peterson, Ingram, The team's clearly not sold on Ingram. And Peterson is 32, a couple years removed from his best football. So Kamara, a guy I like, I think he is a sneaky top 40 PPR running back already based off his what I envision to be his role in the offense. And if he gets even more carries because those guys in front of him disappoint, this rookie could be one of the great mid-round steals of this draft. Get that complete list there at PFF Edge. You can also check out my most consistent wide receiver article, which hit out today as I record this here on Tuesday, August the 22nd. And part three of a four-part series went just looking at the consistent receivers, the ones I like, the ones I don't because of. And I think at the receiver position, as I point out in the article, the difference between a wide receiver one and a wide receiver two and a wide receiver two and a wide receiver three in fantasy, to me, it boils down to consistency. How frequently can they produce at that level? My whole list there has that article. It's a free one at Pro Football Focus. Be sure to check that out as well. While you're there, you can look at my latest rankings, and a lot of things shaking and baking here. I haven't really dug into this Odell Beckham Jr. update impacting my rankings at this point. I have not gotten there yet. The news is positive at this point. I don't see myself bumping ODB down yet. I could if it looks like he is going to potentially miss week one later in the draft season. But right now, I still got him number 4 overall PPR. And that's higher than some. The big change is at the top. Yeah, I understand Le'Veon Bell's obviously not really. The holdout doesn't appear, or not reporting to camp and signing the deal here does not appear to be an issue. So Le'Veon Bell, though, I did drop. David Johnson just came in ahead of him. I've been flip-flopping throughout the year. I've been on Bell mostly, but I think this was the icing on the cake. Le'Veon Bell just, it's harder for me to envision him playing 16 games, honestly. I love both these guys, and Bell is a firm number 2. Brown at 3. Julio, Evans, and Green. So I'm going the top 2 running backs, my top 5 receivers. I think it's Antonio Brown by far at number 3. If you wanted to take him at number 1 overall, but ODB is ahead of Jones if he's healthy and playing 16 games. If you feel safer with Julio, I'm cool with that too. Beneath them, Evans and then Green. You could go Green or Evans. I favor Green, or excuse me, Evans slightly. Then I'm going to go Devontae Freeman in a PPR. I know that's a little different, but he's my number 4 RB, and right behind him is Melvin Gordon. Excuse me, Freeman's my number 3 now on my board in PPR. Gordon, my number 4. Those guys come in at 8 and 9. I've got McCoy down at 10, Ajayi Murray, a bunch of running backs here. And, you know, that's probably a little different for some, but I think that's not how drafts are going to go, but I really see the value in those running backs falling off after DeMarco Murray. And it's not for me. And Jordan Howard, I'm a little lower than most. I'm a little higher on Cook. So I don't know. This is an evolving thing here. And once you, the reality of it is, once you get to about pick 8 to about pick 16, it's pretty reversible just based off of what you really want to do. But I do know this. Shady McCoy's falling down my list. Check out my complete rankings for PPR and standard leagues, updated almost on a daily basis at this point. At least every day and a half, I'm doing hard updates. You can get those at Pro Football Focus as well. Let's get into the AFC South preview. It's what we're here to talk about today. And the division that, you know, it's not the most exciting out there to talk about, but I do enjoy looking at the team on the top of it, and that is, I believe, the Tennessee Titans. And here's a team that, honestly, they, I believe, have the best chance at challenging the Patriots for the AFC in 2017. I like this team. They could be a little better on defense, but I really love Marcus Mariota and his presence there inside the red zone. And Mariota, I mean, here's a guy that he just gets it. And the fact that he's already past this injury, the fibula injury that we believe that was going to be something to limit him. I mean, fewer turnovers last year, more explosive passing plays in his second season. He had a 7-week stretch where he's one of the league's top fantasy signal callers. Difference-making running ability. He's developed faster than I expected, and there is some injury concern still, but the leg fracture issue appears to be in the rearview mirror. I love his quick release and precision accuracy. It's translated into nice production. I mean, 30, almost 70% completion percentage puts him ahead of any passer in the league with more than 10 attempts inside the red zone. He's been money. 33 touchdowns, zero interception inside the 20 in his career. I like the weapons around him. And you're looking at my rankings right now. I've actually bumped Mariota all the way up to 8 ahead of Andrew Luck, who we'll get to in a bit. And just behind Jameis Winston. Winston and Mariota, these guys are the future of the NFL, and I think the future begins now in both NFL and fantasy. These guys are top 8 quarterbacks on my list, and you go and you look at that latest ADP data. I talk about it all the time. I love ADP data because it gives you an idea of value, and you got to have good ADP data. You shouldn't just trust one source, but one of my favorite stops is Fantasy Football Calculator. I love the history I get there at different times looking at things. And right now, QB10, Marcus Mariota. You can have him at pick 8.08. And Luck's still going ahead of him. Derek Carr still going ahead of him. I don't think they should be. He's a guy I'm targeting. As far as the other parts here in Tennessee to talk about, I think the conversation really starts getting into the running backs. And DeMarco Murray, we talk about my consistent running backs and some of the factors that I found. DeMarco Murray's just been one of those fast and steady running backs, and he's finished as a top 5 back now twice, RB1 in 2014. He's done that twice now in 3 seasons, inside the top 7 fantasy scorers at the position in each of the last 4 years, if you take out the year he played in Philadelphia in 2015 with Chip Kelly, which was an utter disaster. He did show signs of wearing down last year. He only averaged 60 yards per game with 2 rushing touchdowns in the final 6 weeks. His early second-round price tag is inflated from about 2 rounds last year at this time. And last year at this time, Murray was a guy that I was on. He was a guy that I projected to be pretty well ahead, and we identified as a player that was at a great price. Right now, he's RB6, round 2.01. And as I said, I've got him in my overall rankings, just sitting right there. DeMarco Murray deserves to be considered at the turn. Now, here's where people are wrong, because I think people are either still on with Murray or they're turning the page and they're trying to get Derrick Henry. And it's not a bad strategy to be focusing on Henry, but it's a strategy where I think both these guys are going to produce. Derrick Henry, RB33, 707 is his draft slot right now. And I could see a definite regression here for Murray, but he's shown to be durable. I think he has enough left in him. The Titans don't want him to get wore down, so I think they will mix it in. But I think you could have 2 top 20 running backs all season, and I expect Murray to be the one with the heavier workload. Finally, in the Titans, let's talk about some of the other weapons. And it's not a bad depth chart there. Corey Davis, the rookie, he's been hobbled pretty much all of preseason and camp here, and He continues to be dealing with this hamstring issue. He's on track to play in a preseason game at last check, but I don't know. A rookie missing this much time, he is really starting to fall off of my redraft board. I mean, you could still roll the dice on him. Rishard Matthews, I think, is a proven guy that Mariota likes to throw the football to. So I love his value right now. And I think Delanie Walker is still a top 10 tight end, even though fewer touchdowns. And I'm keeping my waiver watch eye on Taywan Taylor, the youngster out of Western Kentucky that I really loved during his days as a Hilltopper. But Eric Decker is really the passing game target that I want to get here. And he's never really proven himself as a true wide receiver one before, but he's never been somewhere where he's had this supporting cast and been asked to be in that role. So Decker right now, my PPR rankings, I'm still looking at him more as a wide receiver three. I actually got him at 37, which puts him as a fringe wide receiver four. But he's one with some upside. And you know, we go back to our price tag all the time. We look at the average draft position. And Decker, especially in PPR, I think is going to get it. I am a little concerned. There's a lot of mouths to feed here, and I don't anticipate a heavy volume of pass attempts from Mariota. But Decker's still a good price right now, and a guy that is in a good team that I think is going to score a lot of touchdowns. And we know that he's been pretty effective in the red zone. You can get him right there. My rankings right align with his ADP, wide receiver 37, and he's available at the beginning of round 8 in most cases. So I like Decker, and at that price, I think he's a guy that has a decent floor with still a fair amount of upside. The Indianapolis Colts, a little more concerned there, and Andrew Luck, I mean, if you're not worried about this shoulder yet, you need to be. Coach Chuck Pagano said there is still no timeline for him to return from this issue. And Stephen Holder of the Indy Star, the Colts have just 2 practices next week and 4 the week after before heading to Los Angeles for week 1. It's looking more and more like it's going to be Scott Tolzien and not Andrew Luck here in week 1 for that matchup. And that takes a big hit. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science. I'm not going to sit here and waste my breath or your time in telling you that's a downgrade across the board, at least in the short term. But Luck, as I said, I've dropped him down now. He's 9 in my rankings. And even taking him there, I'm not feeling great about it. Yeah, the upside's there, but this is a real risk, and it should concern you. Now, I'm not avoiding Luck. I haven't dropped the rest of the Colts that far down based off of this just yet, but I have dropped them. And Luck is the reason why. That's not making me shy away from Dante Moncrief, though. And I mean, here's a guy that I just got him in my Dream League auction. I don't even, in my Dynasty League, where it's an auction style and there's contract years and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, I was able to get him at $12 for 3 years, which is a very low price in this league because a marquee receiver goes for $50 to $65. But I didn't even need a receiver. So I still think that Moncrief is a guy, only 23 years old, entering a contract year, a great, great value right now. And Luck's shoulder is only helping that. So if Luck's shoulder isn't an issue, this is going to be a steal. And his ADP is right where you want it. I mean, I've seen him go in round 7, 8. And that's about the right spot, maybe a little earlier. And over the past 2 years, he's only played 15 games with Andrew Luck. So if both of these guys can stay on the field for a full season, the sky is the limit. I think Moncrief is the quintessential post-type sleeper and a guy that I think could be a wide receiver too. I'm still a lot higher than him than many in the industry, including some of my peers at Pro Football Focus. But I get it. The Luck shoulder issue, his own issues here, there are concerns, but I think there's still so much room for improvement that I'm hopeful for. Frank Gore, I mean, does this guy have enough left? I mean, really? I've gone against him for each of the last 5 years, and I'll admit it. I've been wrong in most cases. Gore has proven to be pretty steady. Now, that said, his consistency, not all that great. He's only a year older. And guess what? Frank Gore versus Father Time 6. I'm going with Father Time again. I'll win one of these days, and I think this year's it. So Gore is a guy that I've been backing off a little bit. In early drafts, mock drafts, I was sort of thinking the value was there, but I think this Colts situation is sort of a mess in the backfield here, and they're going to need Luck's shoulder to get better because he's going to have to throw early and often. T.Y. Hilton, I mean, I have moved him down recently as well. The guy's a yardage machine. Touchdowns, not as so much. He does get a lot of his in chunks. He's still a very high receiver on my board. Outside my top 10 with the Luck shoulder issue. I mean, it's not necessarily all on him for that. It's also just really, it's such a stacked position. I got him at 11. I actually take Dez Bryant over him because I think in the absence of Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys are going to go Dak Dez and ride it for six games, more than we're going to see, than we thought we were going to see. I like him over T.Y., but T.Y. is still ahead of Amari Cooper and still a low-end wide receiver one, but his ADP suggests I won't have many shares. The Texans, they named Tom Savage the starter. I still think Deshaun Watson gets his chance. I'm going 11 games. 11 games is my projected starting games for Deshaun Watson. He's the right answer, but for now, Savage is capable enough at least keeping this offense on track to be at least fantasy worthy. So hopefully he can get off to a fast start, but hopefully the Texans don't waste too much time with him in and Deshaun Watson on sideline, because I love what Watson could bring to the table, particularly as a mobile quarterback, moving outside the pocket, making things happen. In deeper leagues, I'd still throw a dart at Deshaun Watson, even though Savage is the starter. But I'm not targeting him by that measure. I think there's other guys. Most redraft leagues where you have two QBs, it's more of a waiver wire watch than it is a late round dart. Lamar Miller, no thanks. I'm sorry. I'm just done with Lamar Miller. I know we talk about him on this podcast. I talk about him a lot on Twitter and SiriusXM as well. I just don't believe in this guy. I mean, the carries went up to 19.6 last year. Yards per carry went down 0.6 yards, and we saw only 5 touchdowns despite the high volume. Donta Foreman was drafted for a reason. I don't think that this team is going to commit to what we saw them commit to with Miller last year, and he's so overvalued right now in the third round. I don't want him anywhere near any of my fantasy teams. I am a little higher on DeAndre Hopkins. I'd like to see Watson win this job and to create those plays downfield, but DeAndre Hopkins, a guy that I've got him as a wide receiver 13. So, I mean, I think he's a good wide receiver 2. I'll take him in round 3, but a lot better if I can get him in fall to round 4. So, outside of him, Braxton Miller, sleeper potential, but it has to be in a deeper league because this offense just isn't going to pass a lot there. C.J. Federowicz remains on your tight end radar as well. But that's pretty much it for the Texans. Let's wrap up here with the Jaguars. And, I mean, goodness gracious, could this have been a worse preseason for this offense? You got Blake Bortles, who is now squarely in a quarterback battle with Chad Henne. And, I mean, I think I'm rooting for Henne here from a fantasy standpoint. The reps were split dead even between the two this week here. And they're getting ready for this third preseason game. And it's not a surprise that Bortles just blows. I mean, I know in fantasy the production has been there, at least statistically, but this guy is terrible, and he's really struggling right now. And I think Henne is, if they can get Leonard Fournette going and this running game going, Henne is just a guy, hey, don't lose us the game. Let's get this defense out of here and make sure this guy doesn't have to chuck it up more than 25 times. So, that said, I'm not on the Henne train either, but he's the lesser of two evils. I'm bailing on Bortles. Leonard Fournette's toe, his foot. It's a foot issue with Leonard Fournette, and it's a lingering issue. Not a great scenario here. I don't know how serious it is, though. I mean, this is the same foot that hampered Fournette at LSU. That, to me, is where I'm concerned. And he's, to this point, just 12 snaps. I mean, is that enough time for this rookie? So even if he's ready in week one, Leonard Fournette gonna be a little green here. So that said, I haven't really dumped him too far down in the rankings just yet, but the thing is when and if he gets healthy, I mean, this guy is gonna get the rock so much. This team is gonna have to lean on him and run him into the ground as soon as they can. So that's why I haven't moved him yet, because volume wise I think the sky's the limit. Avoiding Allen Robinson. We'll wrap up here. And, I mean, D.D. Westbrook has flashed here in preseason a little bit. That's a wait-and-see approach. Marquise Lee, I mean, of course, this is a guy that had a little bit of a breakout last year, but we are dealing right now with an ankle issue. He expects to be ready week one, but I've dropped him a little down on my board, Allen Hurns. But Allen Robinson, this guy was a first or second round pick a year ago. which is crazy. And, I mean, he's really had that breakout season there in 2015. But if you throw out that big campaign, he's only finished in the top half of the position in week, on a weekly basis in 7 of 26 games since 2014. I did that in my recap or my consistency article. You can get a Pro Football Focus. And, yeah, I mean, it can be partly blamed on Bortles here, but Robinson just pulled in 50.6% of his catches a year ago. He saw his average depth of target fall by 4.2 yards from a season earlier, and his ADP's dropped by full round in the past few months. So you can get him right now, late fourth round. And but here's the thing. There's other people I want to get there. I'm looking at the receivers potentially available for me at that point of the draft. You know, fourth round wide receivers and PPR. Guys that I think have upside. Alshon Jeffrey, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Golden Tate, Martavis Bryant, just to name a few. Why in the world would I want to go with Allen Robinson at that spot? I don't. I've still got him projected as a low-end wide receiver too, but that doesn't mean I want him to be one on my fantasy team. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, be sure to subscribe. You can do so on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. You can always get the podcast at GetSportsInfo.com. You can always get me on Twitter at Dan Claskins. I'll be back in a little week or less here. We'll wrap up our divisional primers with a look at the NFC West. And still before the season, my 2017 Bold Predictions episode. Be sure to stay tuned to those and much more. I'm here talking football year-round. It's the Get Sports Info podcast with Dan Claskins. Thanks for listening.